Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Be still and know that I. The Lord of hosts is with us. And we continue now with our confession of sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We trust to deserve your presence in eternal punishment. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. With the call to ordained servant Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Congregation, we receive him. And at this time, we'd like to invite you to join us. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saved. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims his as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is this child named? Judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, his souls in all. You drowned the hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his sons in the Red Sea. Yet let your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing of praise to you. We pray that you will be hold fully according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed sins, would be trampled and died. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she will be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors to baptism candidates and catechumens. The Evangelical Lutheran Church sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the maturing the Christian faith, he is encouraged them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's death. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ, and in love with the name. Millie's parents have chosen two godparents of her, and Laura, and so have embraced this important responsibility for the matters of you. Is it your intention to serve Millie and support her in the Christian faith? If so, say yes to the help of you. God enable you both to fulfill and to do this faithful and loving work under His grace. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us join together and pray the prayer of Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The light of Christ to the ever-body. the history of the Christian church about baptism is that when we are baptized, we receive a new name. Our God places His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upon us in baptism, and we become part of His family. But it's also been a tradition in the history of the church that we baptismally recognize the significance of a person's given name. Now, the name Billy is kind of derivative of a few other kinds of names that you could call somebody who's Emily, Millie, or Mildred, and so. But one of the things that's consistent with all those different names that are related is that the Bill part of Billy comes from an old word that means hard work or something like strength, something like that. And so I really love that. I mean, obviously, we look forward to watching Millie's strength grow and her ability to work hard grow as she has. But I especially love on a baptismal day to think about it's the Lord who allows us to grow in the most important ways, right? Not just physically, but spiritually. And we're all excited to watch Millie grow up imperfect and to get stronger and stronger each and every day. I'm going to invite Millie's grandfather, Mike, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Billy the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that if she is now become your child, you keep her in your baptism and grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And peace be with you. Well, you can go and church this time. You can extend your prayer. And our congregation will sing a baptismal hymn, number 601. All believe and are baptized. remainder of our liturgy today for you to be centered around what are known as the five solas of the Reformation. So we have a few different phrases that came out of the Reformation, and each one of them goes along with the word sola in Latin, which means alone or only. So this first part will be sola fide and sola gratia, which are faith alone and grace alone. And our reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by Him. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Reformation Sunday is definitely the Lutheranist, that's probably not a word, but we'll go with it. The Lutheranist out of all of the special Sundays that we might recognize on our church year calendar in any given year. Even though Lutherans are not the only Christians that celebrate Reformation Sunday, there are plenty of other Christians out there who certainly owe their very existence to the Reformation, and so they are very thankful for it too. But for us Lutherans, we tend to make it a major part of our identity. In other words, celebrating Reformation Sunday is not just about remembering all these things that happened 500 years ago in the 16th century in Germany, but it very much continues to be part of what's real for us today. It's part of our identity, it's literally who we are. And so the things that were important back then are still important now. That's why we still call ourselves Lutherans. And that's why we still sing our Mighty Fortress like we got to a little bit ago, which was once upon a time the battle hymn of the Reformation. That's why we continue to use Luther's Small Catechism in our teaching here in church and in our school. So as I mentioned before, our worship is going to be centered around some of those things that were being taught back then that still matter today. These five solas, these five things that are alone or only in the Reformation, these five important truths. Faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. And then we kind of wrap the whole thing up by saying, to God alone be the glory. But for this first section, this first little meditation, we're just going to focus on those first two. Faith alone and grace alone. Whenever people ask me, Pastor, what's the difference between Lutherans and fill in the blank, right? Between Lutherans and Catholics, between Lutherans and Baptists, Lutherans and Methodists, I mean, there's all different kinds of questions, and there's all different reasons why people are asking those questions, but we can talk about lots of different differences, right? We can talk about different music, different styles of worship. We can talk about communion practice and how we understand it, how they understand it, all of those things. But one of the things that I think really sets Lutherans apart from other Christian denominations, when it really comes down to it, it's going to be our understanding of this thing that we call justification, which is a really churchy way of saying, how does a person get right with God? Right? If the goal is to go to heaven, how do we go to heaven? How do we get there? How can a person be saved? And every kind of Christian from every different flavor and variety of Christianity has some sort of answer to those questions. Usually, the non-Lutheran answers to those questions involve requiring some sort of personal effort on the part of the individual. Right? Like people will say, well, if you want to be saved, then you gotta be a good person. You gotta give your heart to Jesus sincerely. You've got to decide to follow him. The Lutheran answer to that question is one that I feel is a lot simpler. And of course, I, as a Lutheran pastor, am going to argue that it is the one that is the most scriptural. It's what the Bible actually teaches us, that justification and salvation come to us by God's grace. Gift alone, which is received by us by faith alone. And we listen to Paul's own words here in Romans chapter 3, where he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace. It's a gift through the redemption. redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. All laid out right there. This is a gift. It's a gift to us. It's something that we cannot earn. It's something that we can simply receive. And because God is the perfect giver, one of the best parts about this is it's not something that we mess up. Sure, a person can reject their salvation. They can reject God's new gift to them. But it's not like you're going to somehow mess up your ticket to heaven because you haven't done enough good things, or because you haven't been sincere enough, or some other thing that causes you to doubt. It doesn't depend upon our ability, or our sincerity, or our wisdom and our knowledge, none of that. Salvation only depends upon Christ and his promises to us. And that's why I just think it's so perfect that we just got to witness an infant baptism on Reformation Sunday. I can't remember if I've ever had a baptism on Reformation Day before. I have to go back and look. But I just love this idea that what we have in Millie over here is this perfect picture of how God treats us, how salvation comes by grace alone and through faith alone. All of us anticipate that Millie's going to grow up to have an amazing life. She's going to do amazing things. It's going to be awesome. But right now, all she can do is lay there. All she can do is lay in her father's arms and be cute and receive God's promises to her. But it's faith alone which has been created by the Holy Spirit because of God's grace alone, and grace just so happens to be her middle name, so that works even better. And seeing that happen right here at the font, right in front of us today, is a great reminder that this is exactly how our God treats us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue now by singing about the grace that God has used to save us. We're going to sing two verses of hymn number 566, verses 1 and 6. For our second part, we will focus on the next two solas. Sola Scriptura is Scripture alone, and Solus Christus is Christ alone. Our reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the word of the Lord. Together to him in Christ's love. So we usually celebrate the Reformation here at the end of October because the first main event in the history of the Reformation in the whole movement was that famous moment when that young monk named Martin Luther decided on Halloween, October 31st, back in 1517, to publish his 95 theses, which were his 95 reasons why he believed it was wrong for the church to sell salvation to its people in the form of these things called indulgences. But the reality, even though that was kind of the first big moment, the reality was, in Martin Luther's those couple of years reading his Bible. And I know that sounds so simplistic to say, I mean, especially for people like us who have access, such easy access to our Bibles, to the Scriptures. We can open up our Bibles at home. We can Google any verse that we want to fit any situation. But you have to put your mind back into Luther's world, where people only had access to Scriptures if they were highly educated, so that they could not only be able to read, but they had to be able to read in Latin. And so it was Martin Luther's personal study of the Bible, particularly as he was preparing to give lectures on the books of Galatians and Romans at the University of Wittenberg, where he's actually having to read and study the Scriptures for himself. It's at that moment when he actually ends up discovering the gospel, the good news, all the things that we just talked about, that salvation comes to us by grace alone and through faith alone. Especially like when he opened up Romans chapter 3 from our first reading. But also, Luther came to the understanding that the righteousness of God is not a scary thing. That God is not just some angry judge sitting on his throne, mad at us because of our sin all the time. But instead, God is love. And he loves the people that he created so much that he sent his son Jesus to fulfill the law perfectly and give us his righteousness as a gift. Most people in the 16th century were afraid of God. But Scriptures teach the opposite. They teach us the true good news, that this is a gift. So those first two solas, faith alone and grace alone, they are revealed to us by the third sola, which is Scripture alone. That's where we get to learn about the true nature of our God. And if you don't want to think about it in those heavy theological terms, you can just think about it in a very simple way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That simple truth rocked Martin Luther's world. It literally changed his life. So for the rest of his ministry, Martin Luther dedicated his life to giving ordinary people, ordinary Christians, access to those Scriptures. That's why later on, when he was excommunicated from the church and he had to hide out in Wartburg Castle for almost a year, he didn't just sit there in the castle twiddling his thumbs, but instead, he spent that time translating the New Testament from Greek into German so that people could actually hear it and understand it for themselves. It's also why the earliest forms of Lutheran worship were not conducted in Latin, but they were conducted in German, so that when people showed up to church on Sunday, they actually could follow along with the service. It's also why some years later, when Luther sat down to write his small catechism, he did so to create a resource for fathers to be able to teach the faith in a very simple and easily memorized way to their children so that they could learn what the Bible actually says. Scripture alone was always such an important part of the Reformation. Because instead of having to put your blind faith and trust in whatever popes and bishops and priests had to say about what was in the Bible, now the people were led from the Scriptures themselves, from that third sola, Scripture alone, to ultimately the fourth. Solus Christus, Christ alone. In the reading that we just heard from John chapter 8, Jesus says it this way. If you abide in my word, now there's Scripture alone, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then a couple of verses later, he says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. verse that we have in our Bibles is there to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ alone. Even the parts that are hard to understand, even the parts of the Old Testament that seem obscure and a little strange, the things that we don't often teach in Sunday school lessons, even those things are all there to get us to Christ alone. Or, like as John tells us at the end of his gospel, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. There's nothing else that the Bible is about. The Bible is not ultimately about angels and demons. It's not about heaven, about hell. It's not about Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and Peter and James and John and Paul. It's not about you either. It's about Christ for you. Thanks be to God. Now let's join in singing verses 1 and 5 of hymn 578, Thy Stronghold. Because we included the Apostles' Creed as a part of our baptismal liturgy earlier in the service, we will omit that at this time. And at this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Meditation is the shortest and the simplest because this whole reading that you just had is only 2 verses long, but it does a really good job of wrapping up everything that we've been thinking about up to this point. Now, this reading comes from St. John's revelation of heaven, and in that vision, eternal gospel to proclaim to all of the nations of the earth. So if it's the eternal gospel, it means this is supposed to be good news for everybody. But it's interesting because when he opens his mouth in the very next verse, it honestly doesn't sound very gospel-y. It doesn't sound very good news-y. He shouts in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come." Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? It's the kind of end times book of Revelation stuff that makes our sinful nature afraid sometimes. We hear that word judgment, and suddenly we're not so sure that we want to stay face to face with the Lord. The fifth and final sola, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory, that's essentially what the angel is shouting here. So, does that mean this is a good thing or not? Are we ending this on a good note or a bad note? If this was all we had by itself, then we probably would be kind of like all those people who, back in Martin Luther's day, feared God in a more literal sense of the term, like they were actually afraid of God. But the Reformation reminds us that the fifth sola comes to us in the context of the other four. That because God has poured out his grace upon us as a gift to be received by faith, because this has been revealed to us in Scripture, because this is all due to Christ alone, therefore we get to look forward to the end times. We get to look forward to the last day. The idea of judgment doesn't bother us because it's Christ who has been judged on our behalf. That is really important. That's why the Reformation still matters. That's why we still talk about this, even though we are now in the 21st century and it's the year 2024. This is a glorious day to celebrate. The glory of the day is not in our personal history or our German heritage. It's not in all of our earthly institutions. The glory is not in the Missouri Synod or the Southern Illinois District. It's not even in our individual congregations and schools. The glory of this day is not in hot wraps and jello salads and the fact that we all want to sit toward the back of the church and we make these jokes about how many Lutherans it takes to change a light bulb. It's none of those things. The glory is and always will be in God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. In his most present name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. For our prayer list today. We are continuing to pray for Dorothy Brody. She was hospitalized this last week, and she still is in the hospital, and so we'll be praying for her. Also hospitalized is Ronnie Jolliffe. He's been fighting an infection and now also dealing with some heart issues. Not listed in your bulletin today, we will be including Janice Nearman on your care facilities. She recently fell and broke her arm, but she is doing better as far as that goes. But she is now living at the High Point Residence in Centralia, so she'll be listed in her care facilities. We give thanks to God, of course, for the baptism of Billy Grace, but also to the baptism of little Enzo Robert Anthony Ginsey, who's with us today, like in late care here. And Enzo was baptized yesterday in New Midland. We also give thanks to God for the birth of Hayes Thomas Underford, the newborn son of Tyler and Joanna Underford, who was born on Thursday. And we give thanks for the marriage of Zach Schmidt and Kelsey Sockley, when they were married yesterday. So please stand as we go to God in prayer. us to pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for all of your goodness and tender care, especially on this Reformation Sunday. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us and give us fertile hearts to keep it and bring forth its good fruit in our lives, Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, keep us steadfast in your word and prevent our wayward hearts from following false gospels that lead us away from you. Provide your church with faithful pastors who preach in purity, joy, and we are saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle, as they continue to work through this time of pastoral vacancy. Give them wisdom and strength, and if it be your will, quickly lead them to the man you have chosen to serve them as their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your grace, for the gifts that you shower down upon us each and every day. Continue to watch over those who are working in the fields during this harvest season. Keep them safe and grant them success. We also rejoice over your many other gifts to us, including those among us who are celebrating birthdays, Alyssa, Nora, and Willard. We praise your name for the birth of Hayes Thomas Hunderford. Watch over him and his family, and soon lead him to the font of holy baptism. Thank you for those who have been baptized this weekend. So, Robert Anthony Kinsey and Lily Grace Annenberger, may they grow in grace and faith alone each and every day. We thank you for the gift of Christian marriage for those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Gerald and Rhonda Brody, and also Eric and Stephanie Underford. And we lift before you Zach Schmidt and Kelsey Sotlater, who were united in marriage yesterday. Help them to love one another as you have first loved us. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, you have great power, and yet you act with mercy. Teach those who lead us to use power rightly for the preservation of order, the accomplishment of justice, the protection of life, the defense of the weak. Give us wise, godly, and faithful leaders who will follow your commands and serve with integrity. And bless all who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, remember all who face adversity of any kind, especially all who are on our congregation's prayer list, including all who are in care facilities, especially Greta, Eula, Jim, Charles, Betty, and Janice. We lift before you Dorothy and Ronnie, who are currently hospitalized, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Don, Tim, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Francie, Tina, Nicole, Brent, Linda, Jeff, Nancy, John, Butch, Laverne, Elizabeth, and all those who are facing cancer. Comfort them by your Holy Spirit, that they would acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Lord, in your mercy, preserve your church, O Lord, and each of us as members of Christ's body, that we may not surrender the true gospel for any reason, but be kept in this faith throughout the days of our earthly pilgrimage, until that day when we and all your people shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the reward you have prepared for us, and all who have loved his appearing. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Receive you, the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Our grace be seated. One last time, our hymn of the month for October has been number 662, Onward Christian Soul. busy time of year, and there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to highlight a few of them just very briefly. Tonight is family night, and we hope all of you can come and join us for our favorite family night of the year, pumpkin farming. We're going to get together over in the school from 5:30 to 7:30 this evening, and we hope you can join us. We've got lots of pumpkins which have been donated by the Rommel and Brothers Farms. We give thanks for that. So there'll be plenty of pumpkins to carve. If you have any of your own carving supplies, you can bring them along. We do have our own carving and decorating supplies. But what we really need you to bring is some food. So tonight is going to be a full potluck. So if you don't bring it, we don't eat. So please bring main dishes, side dishes, desserts, whatever you got. We'd love to have you there this evening. Please note that next Sunday, daylight saving time ends, and so we will be falling back and gaining an hour of sleep. I just want to make sure everybody is aware of that for next week. Tomorrow night is our October quarterly voters meeting, so we want to invite our voters to be here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And if any of you have reports to turn into Jane, please get those to her by noon tomorrow. Finance Board will be meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Mixed Choir will be meeting on Wednesday. Band times are tomorrow night at 5. Coming up next weekend, as our YPS youth are getting ready for the National Youth Gathering coming up in New Orleans next summer, they have some fundraising to do. And so one opportunity that we hope you'll participate in is a trivia night, which they are going to be hosting next Saturday evening, November 2nd. And that begins at 7 o'clock. There's all kinds of information about that in your bulletin. We are once again collecting food to help families in need for Thanksgiving holiday coming up. And our youth are kind of spearheading that. So we are partnering along with Zion UCC Church here in Boylston to create Thanksgiving bags that will be made for families who are in need of help at this time of the year. And there's information in the bulletin about the kinds of food that we are going to need to provide. We need either cans of green beans and corn. We need cranberry sauce. We need pumpkin or other kinds of desserts. It's all there in your bulletin. We will each put those bags together at youth night next Sunday. So you can bring any of those items to the office throughout the week this week. Or if you come to church next Sunday, just place those items in the narthex, and we would really appreciate if you could help us collect for the Irvington Food Pantry. The next senior social will be Sunday, November 10th, and there is a sign-up sheet, so please let us know if you're planning to come. Carol Weiss is the person to talk to if you have any questions about that. Today is the final day to fill out the Trinity Stewardship Questionnaire. That is also in your bulletin. That's just to let us know if you have any experience or interest in some of the various things that pop up when we have needs or someone in our congregation or community has a need. We'd love to match up interested people with people who need help. It's not something where you have to sign up to help with something for life. It's just to give us an idea of who can do what and who's willing to do what. So please fill out that questionnaire if you haven't already done so. I'm going to invite Chairman Steve Caston to make an announcement. Now, Mr. Scott gets to do a school day. I don't know if you can manage this time, but that's pretty good. Now, you know, I think you get the 32 in grade 12 for St. Louis, 3 teams, 6 teams, 6 teams, 3 teams, 6 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 teams, 6
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.